Okay, we're going to get started. Apologize for the late start. Had a little trouble with AV. And as you can see, this end of the building is still being set up, so it was a challenging one. But we're ready to go now, and I want to thank you all for coming to the first ICD conference on comics and digital. This is our fifth event at New York Comic Con. The first four were part of the ICE, were called the ICD Graphic Novel Conference. And we changed it this year because the business is changing, and our new focus reflects that change. During the time that we were running our graphic novel conferences, the graphic novel business was exploding, was going into new channels. More and more publishers were getting involved in the graphic novel business, and it was the topic du jour. But that's all changed in the last 18 months. When I came to this show early last year, in February, there was a new phenomenon that a lot of people were talking about, which was this whole phenomenon of digital comics. And web comics had been around for a while, but the new discussions were around download to own and expansion of the whole digital space. And I got excited about it. And since then, the pace of change has been very rapid. And so it seemed appropriate that we focus on that topic this year at our conference. I'm going to go through this quickly. First, I want to introduce ICD2, for those of you that aren't familiar with us. We're on the web at ICD2.com. We publish a magazine. We run conferences like this one, and we run a consulting service. This is our website. Every day we have fresh news that goes up throughout the day, every business day. The audience is really people that are in the business of pop culture. That includes comics, games, anime, other movie and TV products. And the audience is the retail community, distributors, wholesalers, librarians, other pros from the publishing, licensing, and media fields. We cover the United States primarily in our coverage, but our audience is very much international. And we cover news, we do quite a bit of market reporting, we do previews of new products, we do reviews, and we also have a space where our readers can comment on our talk back area. This is our daily newsletter, which we do overnight daily headlines, goes out every business morning, and that basically is just a quick digest of the stories we went for previous day, and you can subscribe to that on our site. This is our magazine. It's called ICD2's Internal Correspondence. The magazine Internal Correspondence has a long history. It goes back to the early 80s, and we've gone back to that name in the last year. ICD2 actually stands for Internal Correspondence Version 2. So we started in print, but now we're better known for our web coverage. We come out four times a year. We put out pick hits, which choose some of the products that we think are going to be the best sellers in the coming months. We also cover the top properties, meaning we list the products that have been most successful in the previous quarter. Best in shows is our coverage of upcoming media events that give retailers and others in the space an indication of what properties are going to get a lot of attention from media. And then we also cover markets, we have features, we have reviews. Pick hits to click, I mentioned. I want to thank our hosts, Reed Pop. Reed Pop is the pop culture division of Reed Exhibitions. And it runs this show at New York Anime Festival, New York Comic Con and New York Anime Festival, which are merged this year. The new show in Chicago, C2E2, they also operate the two PAX shows, which are the new shows, along with some others. Reed is the world's leading events organizer with over 440 events with over 6 million participants in 36 countries in the last year. Also, I want to thank our sponsors. First of all, I want to really thank our sponsor, Transcontinental Printing. Transcontinental is the largest printer in Canada and Mexico and the fourth largest in North America. I think the last time we did an event like this, they introduced them as the seventh largest, so they've been busy. I want to draw attention to the fact that Transcontinental is primarily known as a printing company, but they're sponsoring this conference on digital comics. And I think that demonstrates that they're a forward-thinking company that truly cares about the business it's in, cares about the success of its clients, and also has a lot of digital initiatives involved in their overall business plan. also want to thank Publishers Weekly. Publishers Weekly is the prime source of comprehensive news and unique industry data for the book publishing industry. It also publishes Comics Week, which is a weekly newsletter on the comics business. And Heidi McDonald's The Beat, which is the timeliest and most pertinent news and information about comics, the people who make them, the readers who love them, and the world that chooses them. And she definitely brings her own point of view to her writing, and I recommend it at comicsbeat.com. Now we're going to jump into the first session of the conference, which is a preview of the 2010 ICB2 white paper. We've been doing these in the first part of the year for 4 years, and we presented one this year at C2E2, the show that Reed did in Chicago in April. With the change in the timing of this show, it makes it a little more difficult because this year obviously hasn't ended. So it's time to talk about the annual trends. So this presentation is going to be a little bit betwixt and between. We'll be talking about some of the first half trends and how they compare to 2009. You'll also see on this slideshow some of the slides that summarize 2009, so you can kind of get a feel for what the annual trends are as well. Don't confuse the first half 2010 trends with the annual trends, though. A lot happens in the second half of the year. Obviously, we've got the holiday season, which is very, very important to retail. And, so that makes the second half more important than first in the overall trends. So you can't read a whole lot into it, but you get some indications of some things that are happening in the market. This is our chart that shows 2005 through 2009, the graphic novel and comics business. 2009, it was about $680 million of retail. And then we did some percentage changes for the first half of 2010. Graphic novels appear to be down about 20%. We'll talk a little, there's one huge factor in that makes it that look maybe a little worse than it is. Comics, periodical comics are up a little, and the overall is down about 12%. So, talking about some of the trends, comics, as I said, were up 1% periodical comics. A lot of that has been driven by price increases. We'll talk a little more about that in a moment. Graphic novels have been slipping, and that pulled the overall market down. So we just compared the rate of change to 2009. In 2009, the comics were down about 3%. They were up in the first half of 2010. So that's given, you know, margin of error and the fact that it's a half-year trend. They call those both relatively flat. Graphic novels did decline last year, more this year, and overall the decline has been greater. This is just to show you the curve. This one goes through 2009. As you can see, market overall peaked in 2008. About that growth was driven by graphic novels. Talking a little bit about the periodical business, we had relatively flat dollars in the first half. And it's been relatively quiet. There's been an increasing average cover price. I'll have a little bit of a chart that shows what the amount of change has been. I think another thing that's been happening is there haven't been any really huge hits in the first half of 2010. And this is an entertainment business. It's a hit-driven business. And this is an entertainment business. It's a hit-driven business. And so a lot of the market depends on how big the hits are. One thing we don't know if it will continue is that comic stores, periodicals were really hurting in the first 2 months of third quarter, July and August. The numbers that come out of the Diamond Indexes showed that those 2 months, the comic business and comic stores were down about 14%, which is pretty heavy. I don't put a huge amount of stock in that because there's always a lot of change from month to month, and things can shift 10-15% fairly easily, but it'll be interesting to see if that continues. And then we have what I would call chronic periodical complaints. I've been in the business for 35 years, which is a little bit scary in its own way, but for at least 20 of those years, these complaints about periodical comics have been chronic, although they have been slow. The first one, cover prices being too high. I mean, I was selling comics when comics were a quarter, so this is all on a relative basis. They look pretty high. But right now we're going through a transition from $2.99 to $3.99, which is a one-third increase. And some publishers are playing with the package and increasing the number of story pages you get for that amount of money. But overall, in general, fans are paying more for the same amount of content than they were a couple of years ago. Continuity too interwoven. Retailers talk about fans having to make too large a commitment to buy comics. You see some ebb and flow on that. Marvel's probably pulled back a little bit on their number of big events this year. But overall, the continuity is still fairly interwoven. And that leads to the last comment, which is that when times are tough as they are now, fans cut back. But if it's a choice between cutting back a single book or having a group of titles that they've been collecting, sometimes they stop buying altogether. And I think that's easier now than it was 10 or 20 years ago because people can wait for the trade and see periodic comics if they want to. I would say, they say these comments are fairly chronic, and I've been hearing them consistently, although they ebb and flow. I would say they're more common when prices are going up as they are now, when the economy's bad, when there's no big hits, which all goes back to this is an entertainment business, it's a hit-driven business, and when there's big hits, then everybody stops complaining and just enjoys selling the comic. This is the average cover price. We did a comparison of Q2 2009, Q2 2010. This is based on Diamond's sales to comic stores. As you can see, that went up about 4 or 5%. That's a weighted for sales number. And that was very similar. We did a similar chart when we did our white paper earlier this year in Chicago, where we compared fourth quarter of 2009 to fourth quarter of 2008. So, it hasn't changed a lot since then, which means that the increase in prices has stabilized, there doesn't seem to be a lot of new change, but consumers are definitely feeling it. This is our chart for the U.S. and Canada graphic novel market going from 2001 through 2009. Overall size of the market, as you can see, last year was in 2009, was the first year of decline in the entire time we've been doing this, which is somewhat to be expected, and also consider the environment in 2009, which was a very, very scary economy, a lot of underlying economic conditions have made it difficult. First half of this year, you can see a higher rate of decline. This is just to show you the curve. Talk a little bit about some of these trends. Overall, the decline in bookstores has been worse than it is in comic stores. We'll talk a little bit more about that. A big factor I mentioned earlier is a huge factor that's sort of driving a lot of these changes, and that's what we're calling the Watchmen effect. And in the first half of 2009, you saw huge, huge sales of Watchmen, the biggest sales ever in a single graphic novel title. The movie was not huge, but it drove a tremendous number of sales. The reasons for that are varied, but primarily because it's a great book. It's a standalone book. It was easy to figure out what the connection was between the movie and the comic. Just a very quick look, it seems like the Watchmen effect is probably about half of the total bookstore decline this year, just the pullback in sales of that one title. So you might have seen much bigger declines last year in 2009 in the graphic novel market had it not been for Watchmen. So in one sense, the decline in Watchmen sales sort of masked the overall decline that was occurring as a result of the bad economy last year. And there's also been a backlist decline. We didn't do a mid-year update on this, but their backlist, Diamond's backlist title count in graphic novels was down about 24% in 2009, which is a pretty big pullback. And so people are just getting off the weaker sellers, and stores were stocking them, and consumers were buying them. This demonstrates what I was talking about in terms of the sales by channel and the difference there. Comic stores in the first half of the year were down about 9% in graphic novels, and bookstores were down more than that. And again, these are rougher estimates than we normally have because we didn't have some of the normal sources that we have when we have a hearing. This just shows the curve. You can see, peak in 2008, just like the overall market did. This is the comparison of rate, revenue hourly rate of change 2009 to 2010, and the over in comic stores. Down a little faster in 2009. Bookstores down a little faster in 2010. I think you could they say attribute a lot of that to the change in Russia. So I'll talk a little bit about the graphic novels and bookstores, some of the 2009-2010 trends. And these are basically the same that I would have said at the beginning of this year for the overall change, although they're certainly continuing. We had a change in the size of the footprint for graphic novels at retail, primarily because of closing stores. Borders Group closing a lot of their Walden bookstores, which were their outposts in the malls. A lot of Blockbusters closed. Some of those didn't have any graphic novels. None of them had a lot, but there was an impact. You saw book chains reducing their inventory depth. In 2009, we definitely heard that as opposed to just skipping minor titles, they started skipping titles based on major properties. And again, it was related to the proliferation of the number of titles that were out there. And there just isn't enough room on the racks for them to cover everything. And I would also say in the bookstore is the energy is in digital, which kind of brings us, you know, around to this conference, because that's where they see their growth. You know, if you walk into a Borders or a Barnes & Noble, you don't see a display of books in the front, you see a display of their readers or their digital initiatives, and that's really where they're putting a lot of their focus. I also see Amazon gaining share, and it's a continuing trend, especially at the high end. And this is related to price and the fact that it's a weak economy. And it's also related to the fact that brick and mortar is cutting back on inventory, and that means that Amazon selection is a stronger competitive advantage. Brick and mortar chains are strongest at the top. Borders obviously has problems. Barnes & Noble is stronger. Canada is growing a little bit in importance. It's not a huge percentage of the North American market, but that percentage probably has gone up over the last 18 months because their economy is more sick as it is in the United States. And I think that's worth noting just in the overall context of the economy, just because in the United States we have very high unemployment, we have weak earning power, we have low confidence, all those things are affecting spending. People who say the recession is over are really only looking at the GDP numbers and not looking at employment and spending power. And that's just having a huge impact on what people are spending their money on. Kids and YA sales are still growing. This year you had the Twilight graphic novel coming out, which was a huge print run, 350,000. Recently we had the Captain Underpants graphic novel come out, a million copy print run, biggest ever, first print run for a graphic novel. So that market's still growing. Manga's still sliding. And the American genre titles are sliding faster than manga this year, primarily due to Watchmen. We did take a look at the change in the number of percentage change in the number of titles released this year. This is based on the titles that Diamond puts out in their list of new titles that they ship every week. And so the first half of 2010 change, you saw manga decline about 9%. Kids and tweens is up, although that really reversed sort of an aberrant trend last year. And humor is up, but that's a small number. So I'd say the big takeaways from this are manga titles, manga releases continue to decline, and kids and tweens releases are up as a result of the growth in that market. Talk a little bit about the manga market. Over the last few years, we see in 2010, we estimate, and again, basically in the first half, there's a lot of the year left, so seeing manga declines versus the previous year. So that would make this the third bad year in a row for manga. Probably down, as I say, about 20% in the first half of the year. Bookstores are down more than comic stores, although bookstores are a bigger share of the market, so that's a bigger impact on the overall. If these trends hold up through the end of the year, manga will have slipped about 50% over 3 years. Obviously, a huge, huge drop. Weakest titles have taken the largest hit. And on the publisher side, last year we saw three publishers go away. This year, DC closed its CMX event. So we see the companies with the weaker titles going away, and that's a reflection of the fact that the weaker titles are the ones that have taken the biggest hits in sales. And again, sort of background for that, TV exposure is up dramatically. There haven't been any big new hits. One thing that's, you know, I've been seeing at the shows, a lot of cosplay, and stuff that pops Italia title, which just shifted. We'll see how it does, but, and I don't know if it's going to be as big as Fruits Basket for them, but it's got a lot of energy behind it, and so that was an interesting sign of life in the market. There's been a lot of excitement around that title. I also mentioned a couple of others. Vampire Knight from Viz is doing really well. Black Butler from Yen. Naruto is still number one. I'd say the slow digital strategy is affecting what's going on in manga. Scanlations are set by retailers to affect their sales. You saw this year some of the manga publishers start to take action against some of the scanlation sites, but overall there's still a lot of free illegal material out there, and there aren't any legal alternatives, and that could be affecting the overall market for manga because it kind of diverts the fan base over into an area where they're not spending any money. Trade versus library, just saw our chart through the end of 2009. The numbers are pretty small, so I haven't updated them for this year, and I don't have any first half trends. It shows slack between 2008 and 2009. I think sales were actually up. That was the rounding. Shows that it's flat, not a huge amount of change. Just a few factors there. This is a quote from early this year. Graphic novels are more popular, but libraries are more broke. A lot of pressure on local governments to cut spending, and libraries are feeling some of that. In public libraries, you have stable penetration in terms of the number of libraries, but they have bigger collections than they did a year or two ago. You continue to have some content issues in libraries. You see one of these pop up every couple of months. And that just seems to be part of the course because people can't get it out of their heads that not all comics or graphic novels are for kids, or not for kids. And I think the educational market, I've been hearing that this year, since continuing trying to see that the educational market and the school libraries is an area of growth and an area where things are really just getting started in terms of graphic novels safe. Now, I'm turning to the graphic, or the digital comics market. I want to talk about the key components. iTunes is the biggest part of this market, which sells digital content for mobile devices. PSP is probably the second largest. There are some graphic novels for Kindle. It doesn't do color, so it's very limited. It seems to be fairly heavy in romance. I see some of the Harlequin manga making it over on that platform. Android, again, is just getting started. You know, there are very rapid proliferation of devices using the Android operating system, and so it's very early there, but I think that's going to be a much bigger impact next year. And then the web is also just getting started. This year, you saw a couple of companies make some movement onto the web, specifically Comixology, has a web-based digital comics platform, and graphically is also moving in that direction. Our estimates here are going to be based only on download to home. We don't include the subscription sites. Marvel will probably be the biggest one of those in the States. And I'd also say that the borders in this business are not well defined, because when people order, they could be anywhere. And I think it might almost be looked at as a proxy for the English language market rather than strictly the United States market. Last year, we estimated that the overall market was about $500,000 to $1 million at retail. This year, we think that's going to end up somewhere between $6 and $8 million at retail. That's about a 10x change, obviously a huge rate of change. The bulk of that will be iTunes, but those other platforms I mentioned are having a bigger role. PSP is significant. And this is why we're hosting this conference, because the change here is very rapid. It's the fastest growing part of the comics business, and we believe that it's offering the opportunity to reach a lot of new customers. Some of the underlying trends, a huge factor was the iPad launch. Tablets really seem to be the key device for comics. You can look at a comic page the way it was designed. The big two launch, Marvel and DC, getting involved in the digital comics business in a big way this year. And they're the most popular publishers in the United States, so once their content got online, that had a big impact in making people aware that it was time to look at digital. I had some new publishers come in graphically, which is a fairly well-financed new entrant. Longbox launched, and they joined Ivers, Comixology, Panelfly, and that's PSP behind there. some of the other trends, and this continues from last year when we saw content that was tied into movies doing really well. Scott Pilgrim, which launched right around the time of the movie. The movie didn't do huge numbers, disappointment to some, but sold a ton of graphic novels and sold a lot of digital comics as well, and it was among the top-producing iPad apps during those weeks around the movie. Pocket Guide is another interesting title. It's tied to a an app for the the iPhone and iPod, and they sold about 60,000 copies of that in the first couple weeks of release, and that's related to the fact that the underlying game sold about sold a couple million copies, and so some of those fans bought the comics, but it just shows how strong the tie-in effects can be. We've seen a lot of title count growth this year, as we raised the debate too, but also all the other publishers are getting involved. I've seen some experimentation in day and age, but it's really experimentation at this point. There's not a lot of companies that are doing a day and age release, meaning releasing their digital and their online content on the same, or their digital and their print content on the same day. Most new titles are still not available on the day of release for print. Looking into 2011 in the digital space, we're going to have a full year of iPad sales next year, and the installed base is obviously growing rapidly, so that's going to have a big impact. We're going to have a full year of sales from the big two comic publishers, which are much more available than they, which will make them much more available next year than they were this year. There's going to be more tablets. You know, iPad has sort of had the market to itself, but BlackBerry announced one recently, and there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be Android tablets, and so there's going to be a lot more competition in the tablet space. And we're going to see the Android deployment is going to expand overall on cell phones, which is growing rapidly. I think they've passed iOS now in terms of the number of devices out there carrying their software. And price and window experimentation. In terms of price, I know Dark Horse has been announced at this show that they're going to go under the $1.49 on their comic releases for digital. And so that's a change. It's taking the price point down. I think there's going to be more window experimentation in terms of people seeing what happens when you release comics closer to the print release. And there's going to be a lot of change. That's why it's important that I think this business come together and talk about it and try to figure out what's going on so people can plan their businesses to take maximum advantage of it. And so by way of segue into our first panel, I want to talk a little bit more about what digital comics mean. Since I've been in the business, this is the fourth major change in the distribution of comics. The first was the growth of comic stores in the 80s, which revolutionized that business in the States for about 10 years and totally wiped out the newsstand business, or took it down to a tiny fraction of what it had been in terms of share, and gave comic fans a place to go to with like-minded consumers to get comics in an environment where their tastes were respected and their needs were served. You saw online sales grow in the late 90s. We're still seeing the effects of that. And as I mentioned earlier, Amazon's share of the graphic novel business is growing. In the last decade, we saw bookstores really get behind graphic novels in a big way. That's had a huge impact. Has all of these have created new fans. And now we are entering a new phase, which is the growth of digital. We believe that that represents an important opportunity to expand the audience for comics. And we think it's different from other media, because comics are a tiny little business relative to the awareness of the properties that are popularized by comics. And so unlike something like music or video, where those are already mass businesses, comics really aren't. They're more of a niche audience. And so the opportunities to reach new audiences who might be aware of the properties but haven't bought comics, and then hopefully lead some of them into buying print products as well, we think is a very important part of what's happening in this business. So in these discussions, we're going to talk about whether that's the case or whether comics are going to go the way of music, which looked at just recently. It's, the market is down roughly a third from its peak. 40% of the business is digital. We obviously had a lot of other factors there, the albums versus singles and so forth. So I don't think it's going to go that way, but some people do. And some people are afraid of the change. Some people are embracing it. And you saw in our advertising for this event, one of the tag lines used was, you know, embrace the change, because I don't think there's anything we can do to fight it, so we need to figure out how to exploit it and expand our business in the market from it. We started a little late. I'll just take a couple of questions before we switch over to the panel. Yeah?
One thing I was just wondering earlier, you were talking about the market trends, one thing you mentioned was that the dollars were flat in the first half of this week. Do you mean like the actual value of the dollar has gotten there and then much inflation? Is that what you're talking about there?
I think I was talking about comic periodicals, and I was saying that purchases in terms of dollars as opposed to pieces were flat. And I make that distinction because pieces were probably down because comic prices were up. Yeah.
As you're starting to track the sales in digital, I know that as you guys track print sales, you guys are diamond, and you guys post ads and things like that. For Comixology, graphically, and that, are you working to get
they don't really sales numbers. We do interviews and talk to them about what they think their estimates are. I also talk to people about what they think the different portions of the business, for example, iTunes versus PSP, how those play against each other on a ratio basis. So I try to get information without them releasing their proprietary numbers, and that's why we give a range to them. We're not dealing with this, you know, it's $6 to $8 million of a 30% swing. So we're just trying to get close, get a feel for the order of magnitude. Yes?
You noticed the upper price pressure on comic periodicals. Have you been following any price trends on graphic novels?
I haven't. It's not my feel that they're that there's price pressure. I mean, I do see some of the manga prices up a little bit, but overall it seems like, you know, titles like Genesis, which was the second or third best-selling title in the first half of the year, you know, that's not a $10 book. And Watchmen is still up there, and that's not a cheap book. So Kick-Ass, which I think was 20 or 25, that was one of the top graphic novels in the first half of the year. So I'm not seeing, you know, I'm not seeing $30 books. They all seem to be in that, other than manga, they all seem to be in that kind of $15 to $25 range. Yes.
Graphic novels,
are you
seeing any
notable difference
between collections versus originals?
Can't say I am. Doesn't mean I didn't track that. Yes. Last answer first, as I said, I was coming only download to home sales, so I wasn't really focused on the subscription side of things. Marvel doesn't release numbers on that. When they ask questions in the interview, they say those numbers are proprietary, but they're happy with the results. And let's see, the direct sales to the iPad. All I'm going to say about that is if you look at the bestseller list on the iPad, you don't see individual titles very much. You see titles that are mostly authored and distributed by the Comixology diverse of the world. So I don't think that's a huge thing. Maybe one more. Yeah.
You made reference earlier to the health of muscles or things like that. Do you have any idea what the health is of individual comic stores if more than one out of business in the last year or two?
No, I think comic stores are doing pretty well. You know, I think the last couple of months, comic sales haven't looked that good, so if that trend continues, obviously there'd be a problem. But for the most part, I think the comic stores are hanging in there. And I think part of that is a lot of the comic stores out there now have been around for a while and know how to adjust to the market and control their inventory effectively. No, we're not seeing comic stores being stressed right now. Okay, I'm going to cut this off because we've got a great panel coming up. If I can ask our panelists to come up, we'll jump right into the next session. Thank you.